shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the unbelievers, the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his Lord's will and made not ready, nor did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him will they ask the more. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, you have shown us that there are natural laws that exist and control the physical world that you've made, but there are spiritual laws, and they control the spiritual world that you have made. Let us know that Christless men know about your natural laws. We are thankful that through thy word we know about your spiritual laws. And we have read some of them tonight, and we desire to take them to heart. Let us know how foolish men would be who, warned of coming storms and floods, would not prepare themselves. And our Father, let us know that we tremble to think that there are those who have been warned about the wrath of God to come and make no preparation. But we are glad that you have told us, and some have believed and have prepared. And so this night may be our portion. Let us know about these spiritual matters that you explained to us from the Scriptures. You know our sins. We confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you promised. And how Satan would like to take away the seed sown in the hearts of men. Prevent this, our Father, and empower the lips of him who speaks, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. During the month of June, I was in Bedville, and I preached on the first part of Luke 12, and then from Luke 18. And this is what I told them about. Listen, it says, blessed are those servants. Blessed are those servants. Blessed is that servant. And so, the month of June, I preached all the blessings in Bedville, and all I have left for you here in July is the judgment portion of Luke chapter 12. But, fortunately, when you read a portion like Luke chapter 12, it does not of necessity mean that the judgment has to be yours. It can mean that what I'm unable to tell you about tonight, these blessings spoken of in the first part of Luke chapter 12, they can be yours. Now, the ones that are going to be blessed are those that behave in such and such a way and are in that way when their Lord comes. And so for that reason, the coming of the Lord can be a time of blessing or it can be a time of judgment. And it depends entirely upon you. Here is what men fail to understand. That the coming of the Lord, as to whether it's a blessing or a judgment, depends entirely upon whether they have received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. If they have received him and they are faithful, it will be a time of blessing, of joy, of a glorious reunion with him whom we've only known in our hearts. We haven't seen him with our eyes the way that Peter and James and John did. But the Spirit of God has revealed him to us in our hearts, and we've seen him that way, and someday we'll see him face to face. It will be a time of blessedness, of joy. But if you do not know Christ as Savior, no matter what else has happened in your life, no matter what qualifications you have, if you do not know Christ as Savior, when he comes, it will be a time of judgment. And I told them about the time of blessing when the Lord came, And if you want to be among those that are blessed, this is what you have to do. Having received Christ as Savior, that's the first thing. When he comes, if he wanted a time of blessing, it says, your loins have to be girded about, and your lamps have to be burning. And you have to be like those that are waiting for their Lord, and you have to keep awake and be watching when the Lord comes. And in the other part of Luke 12, you have to be serving the Lord. You have to be giving God's people their portion of food in due season. So, having trusted Christ as Savior, if your loins are girded, you're in a state of readiness when he comes, your light is shining, your testimony is being witnessed to the world, then when he comes, it will be a time of blessing. If you are waiting and watching for the coming of the Lord, it will be a time of blessing. And if you're feeding God's lambs and sheep, as I'm doing this night, giving you a portion of food in due season, when the Lord comes, then you will be blessed. And I do hope that the Lord will come when I'm feeding God's lambs and sheep. Think of that. To be caught in the act of preaching faithfully the Word of God. What could be better? But the Lord Jesus also warns us in his Word about this. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that, if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. But what if I departed from God, have ceased to preach the word, have ceased to care for the people of God, and the Savior came? How ashamed I would be. So, it does not matter that you trusted Christ as Savior. It doesn't mean that when he comes, it of necessity is going to be a joyful time. It may be a very sorrowful time at the first, resulting ultimately in eternal bliss because you trusted him as Savior. But what you're doing when he comes means it will be a time of joy or a time of sorrow and embarrassment for some. And it means it will be a time of exposure and rejection for others when the Lord comes. Because now, we all can deceive. We all can pretend. But you think that when the Lord comes, he will not be able to look among us and tell who are sheep and who are goats? You think you can deceive the Lord? It is like Judas, when the Savior said, one of you shall betray me. And the 11 true disciples said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? And Judas Iscariot, who had sold him for 30 pieces of silver, said, is it I? And the Lord Jesus said, thou hast said, as if Judas could deceive the Lord. And so down here, the wheat and the tares can grow together, and at times, I'm liable to think that one of the tares is a true Christian, and I'm liable to think that the wheat is a false Christian. But when the Lord comes, that distinction shall be made manifest in such a way as we've read in this portion. So, what we have here, and this is the way that I take it, from a comparison of all the portions that are similar to this portion in Luke chapter 12, because remember this, when our Lord speaks parables, he speaks them at times in an abbreviated form. At times he speaks them in a full form. And this portion that talks about the Lord returning from the marriage feast, you say, the return of the Lord, a marriage feast, makes you think of the return of the Lord for the wise and foolish virgin in Matthew 25. Yes, the return of the Lord, and there is a marriage feast. And what you find in the scripture is this, that you find many parables that are similar, and yet there is a distinction. Some are briefly told and are given one application. Others are fully told and given another application. But in this portion, having given the blessed part of his coming, having done that, he gives at the latter part of Luke chapter 12, an explanation and a continuation concerning some who are not included among those that are blessed. I could wish this, that everyone who ever joined the church had his name on the church roll would be blessed when the Savior comes. But what our Lord teaches us here is that it is not so. It speaks about who is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord, and so you have faithful and wise servant, and then you have other kinds of servants. Here is what I was asked earlier today, and it just happened that I was going to preach on this portion that will explain the question that was asked about the judgment among the children of God and the judgment among those that are not children of God. How does the Lord deal with it? Well, he's the judge of all the earth. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, all the true children of God, and those that are not included there must appear before the great white throne. But we all have to stand before God. We all have to give an account of ourselves to God. But the difference is this, and it must be noticed, that at times, those to whom Christ spoke either received him or rejected him. Some of them, when Christ spoke, they scorned his words. They scoffed at his teaching. And others, apparently, readily received his words. And because of that, the Lord is going to judge men according to the position they take. Now, it does not mean that the position that they have taken, unless it's one of absolute rejection, is true. But if they have rejected the Lord and never received him, then it is evident the outcome concerning those. But in this portion, our Lord speaks about those who have not rejected him, but those who have taken the position as being servants of the Lord. And remember, the Savior does not deal with those who have rejected him the same way as those who have apparently received him. He judges them and deals with them in a different manner. And that's most important. Because if what we have in this chapter is a group of those that are true, all of those who have made a profession of faith in Christ are true, then the rest are all false. But in the Bible, there are not only the faults among those who have rejected him, but there are the faults among those who have apparently received him as Savior. And therein lies the danger. If, when I was 12 years old, if church membership would have gotten me to heaven, I would have gone to heaven when the Lord came. But I was not saved. But I had taken my place among those that were disciples of Christ. But that you've taken your place as a disciple of Christ does not mean that you are of Christ. However, there are some who are atheists, and I remember talking to them when I was in the service, out and out Christ rejectors, and if they have never made a profession of faith, there is no hope for them. At least if a man made a profession of faith in Christ, there is hope for him. So, when you find in the Bible the Lord speaking in parables about those that apparently are his disciples, among them there may be true and false disciples. But among those that are Christ rejectors, if there has never been any change, then all of them are eternally doomed. So we here who profess faith in Christ have to examine our hearts, not as Christ rejectors, because we say, no, I haven't rejected him. But we have to examine our hearts as to whether we are truly children of God. And in this portion, notice, that I read to you, here are servants, not Christ rejectors, but here are servants that are not faithful and wise, but are unfaithful and foolish. Listen to his description. If that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. So here is a man who is not a Christ rejecter, But here is one who is a servant of God by profession, and yet by behavior, he is in no wise a servant of God. So it's not the position that you've taken. It's not the word you've spoken, but it is the life that you have lived. That is the thing that's most important. The life that you live does not save you, but the life that you live proves whether you have been truly saved by Jesus Christ. There is no work that will get a man to heaven. Faith gets a man to heaven. For by grace you are saved through faith. But having been saved by faith, it says, God hath before ordained that we should walk in good works. And so if a man says, I'm a child of God, but he walks in evil works, he's not a child of God. And these are the ones that Christ is dealing with in chapter 12, starting at verse 45. So, among the Lord's servants, those of whom he speaks in verse 45 are those who turn out to be false servants. There are false apostles. There are false disciples. And while I told about all the rewards and blessings to those that are true, tonight, since I've covered the blessed ones earlier, I have to tell you about the cursed ones, the judged ones, at a later time. The ones also who are esteemed, who are accounted as servants of God. But the coming of the Lord and the way that they are behaving in his absence and behaving at the time of his coming, that will determine whether they are true or whether they are false. So, who are these servants of whom Christ speaks in verses 45 to 48? They are servants that are false servants who prove false. And you may think these are just servants that aren't worthy, who do not serve the Lord completely, but somehow they're still going to be blessed. Absolutely not. That's what I have to tell you about other portions of the word for. Now, in Luke 19, here is what it says. The kingdom of God is like unto a nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And it said, and his citizens hated him, and they sent an ambassage after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Well, there's no doubt concerning them. His citizens hating, they say, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's one group. Christ rejected. But it says he had 10 servants, and to each servant he gave a pound. And when these servants are brought before him, there is judgment among them, as well as judgment among those who say, we will not have this man to reign over us. Notice, here is what happens to those servants who rejected him, those citizens who rejected him. It says, as for those who would not have me to reign over them, bring them into my presence and slay them. Well, there's no doubt about that. But there are those 10 servants, and not all of them were faithful and wise servants. But among those who took that position, some of them did not serve the Lord, and the Lord passes judgment upon them as well. You see, we have not a judgment of all that are true and a judgment of all that are false, but we have a judgment of all that are false, and there's no doubt, there's no hope for those citizens who hate him and reject him. But among those who profess to be his servants, there is also a deciding whether they are true servants, whether we have followed good works, whether our faith is a living faith, a faith that works. This is what is determined here. And evidently, our Lord says that these servants are unfaithful and foolish. Now, I'm going to show you for certain why I know this. You're liable to think, and some people would think, look, they are servants of God, and therefore they have to be judged as servants of God. They'll get into heaven. They won't have a high place in heaven, but they'll get into heaven. They will never get into heaven. I want you to understand that. And I remember speaking to a businessman's banquet on one occasion, and I made this statement. Do you realize that there are virgins in the world, and they will never get to heaven? Virgins go to hell, as well as women that are prostitutes who go to heaven. And the man said, this is inconceivable. It cannot be. But let me ask you, concerning this woman who in the city that was a sinner, and she came and anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus, that woman who in the city was a sinner, the Lord Jesus said, her sins, which were many, are forgiven. And so a woman who has been one of ill repute, but her sins are forgiven, why, she goes to heaven. But there are five wise virgins and five foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25. And you say, well, all of them are virgins, and therefore they're all going to heaven. No. Just because they were virgins, it does not mean that they went to heaven. But it says, the foolish virgins took no oil in their lamps, with their lamps. And what happens is this, and I want you to remember it. When the Lord comes, the five wise virgins who have oil, they go with the Lord to the marriage feast. And it says the foolish virgins come after the door is shut, and they knock on the door and they say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And there is an absolute refusal. And yet all of them were virgins. So here are those that are moral in life, but they do not have what God requires to get into heaven. And even though they have the same status as others, they are associated with the true. They prove to be false, and the door is shut, and they never get in. And so there's no doubt about that. You say, I can't argue with that. Even though all of them were together, even all of them were expecting the bridegroom to come, the ones that were not ready, once the door was shut, they were not permitted to get in. You see? And so in like manner, here are five wise and five foolish virgins. All of them are virgins, waiting for the coming of the Lord. But even though they are waiting for the Lord, five do not get in. And here are servants that are supposed to be serving the Lord in his absence. But when the Lord comes, just because they have the name of servant, they do not get in. You say, this is a horrible thing. Indeed it is. Because Satan would lull you into a false security because you say, why, I'm a minister of the gospel. Why, I'm a Sunday school teacher. And you could go on and on. That does not mean that you're going to automatically get into the kingdom of God any more than those five foolish virgins were going to be admitted into the presence of Christ. It determines entirely the behavior as well as your profession of faith in Christ. All right. Here is a man, and the reason that he is not blessed is this. God has given responsibilities to his true servants. They are to have their loins girded, their lamps burning. They are to be feeding God's lambs and sheep, giving them a portion in due season. They are to be watching for the return of the Lord. But look at what this man is doing. He says in his heart, he says, the Lord is delaying his coming. The Lord said you have to be ready at any moment because you know not the day nor the hour. You must be girded. You must have your light burning. You must. But this man says, I don't have to worry about that. My Lord delayeth his coming. Well, what is he thinking? If he has behaved in this way, think a moment in your life. Suppose you were to serve the Lord and feed the household and protect the household and care for the household, but instead, you cared nothing for them. You ate and drank. You were a drunkard. You beat the men. You beat the women. And you said, the Lord's delaying his coming. But what I'll do is to clean up what I've been doing and make them say that I've been a good servant in his absence, and I'll be sober when he comes, and I'll lie to him. Do you understand? This is what the man had to have in mind. Because if he said, my Lord delays his coming and he's going to act this way forever, then he doesn't believe in the coming of the Lord. But he does believe in the coming of the Lord. He simply says, my Lord delays his coming. And therefore, he can act in this way that is disreputable, but just before the Lord comes, all will be well. But the five foolish virgins found out that they had to be prepared before the Lord came, not after the Lord came. And this man who said, my Lord delays his coming, he did not have it in his power to know when his Lord was coming. Now, if he did, then perhaps a month before he was coming, or a week or a day before he was coming, he could get things together. But it says that he will come in a day and in an hour that he does not expect. And then this is his judgment. Notice, he's going to cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the unfaithful, with the unbelievers. I mentioned those two words because the words apostia and apostas are translated both ways in the Bible. They're translated unfaithful and they're translated unbelievers. Now that's most important for this reason. It speaks in the book of Revelation, and grasp this, it speaks about the unbelievers shall have their portion in the lake of fire. Notice those two words. The unfaithful, the unbelieving, shall have their portion. Look at this. It says, that servant who said, my Lord delays his coming, when he comes back, he is going to appoint his portion with the unfaithful. Did you hear that? His portion with the unfaithful. And it says in the book of Revelation, the unfaithful shall have their portion in the lake of fire. And here is one who is unfaithful and who is an unbeliever, and he's going to have his portion with those who are spoken of, and I know what their destiny is from the book of Revelation. Their portion shall be the lake of fire. But I'm so glad that in that same book it says this. It says, blessed are they whose portion is in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death hath no power. And so there are some who are faithful, and their portion is with the Lord, with those who are resurrected. Their portion is in the first resurrection to joy and reward. But it says, there are those who have their portion with the unbelievers, and that portion is the lake of fire. And what is so sad here is that when the Lord comes, there will be immediate destruction. But then afterward, there are consequences as well. Cut asunder, and then his portion shall be with the unfaithful. And the book of Revelation tells us what that is. All right. So I must examine my life and see. I haven't rejected Christ. No. I've taken my place among his servants. That's good. Now, it's no longer, since I'm not a Christ rejecter, then I'm saved. No. It's since I'm not a Christ rejecter and I'm a servant, am I a true servant of the Lord? That is the question we have to ask now. And the only way you can know, there are some people who say, I just know because the Bible tells me so. That's true. Thank God for that. We know we pass from death unto life. The Bible tells us that. We know, but it says because we love the brethren. Oh, we know because we what? We love. That's your behavior. The scripture says, he that hath my, heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Then I know from the scripture. But it says, we know we have life because we love. Hereby we know that we are the children of God, and it speaks about doing the will of God. And so these servants would say, I'm not a true servant, because here I'm beating the saints of God. Instead of loving one another, I'm beating the saints of God. Think of that. Violence against the people of God. And I'm eating and drinking that self-indulgence, and I'm drunk. That is profligacy. And I'm saying in my heart, what the Lord said isn't true. I say the Lord's going to delay his coming. What we have to do is to be ready. We can't say the Lord delayeth his coming. We have to be ready every day, or he will come in an hour that we think not. And this man proved that he was a false servant, even though he had gotten out of the category of citizens who rejected Christ and had placed himself in the category of those that were the servants of the Lord. The life that he lived proved that he was false. All right. This is what I want you to see. Among those that were blessed, when the Lord comes back, it says that that servant whom the Lord appointed to do such and such a service for him, it says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh,
shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will set him over all that he has. So here is one that has a little responsibility, and he's been faithful in that responsibility, and the Lord says, I'm going to promote you. I'm going to set you over all that I have. In like manner, he's going to set some over 5 cities, some over 10 cities. He's going to set some over a lot of things who were faithful in a few things. So, in the coming day, you'll find that there are degrees of rewards among the faithful servants of God. Not the same, but different degrees among those that serve the Lord. I told you, salvation is free. It is by grace. It is by faith in Christ. But the rewards you get, you must work for. God will give you nothing after you are saved that you haven't worked for. And everything that you work for, he will reward you accordingly. If your pound has gained 5 pounds, he'll give you that reward. If it's gained 10 pounds, he'll give you that reward. And if you've been faithful in a little, he will reward you in more. So the children of God, even in the world to come, are going to have different degrees of rewards. How many cities are you going to reign over in that world to come? But, in like manner, those whose portion shall be in the lake of fire, it's determined entirely by how disobedient they've been to God. It says, at the great white throne, the books are going to be opened, and those that are before him are going to be judged according to the things that are written in the book. And this is the principle. Notice, it says, that servant who knew his Lord's will and made not ready and did not according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did not the Lord's will shall be beaten with few stripes. Listen once again. There's one servant who knows his Lord's will. He doesn't make ready. He doesn't do according to his will. Many stripes he's beaten by. But he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And so this is what I must do. You say, well, this man didn't know the Lord's will. No, but you can get to know the Lord's will. Suppose you didn't have a Bible. You might have an excuse. But you've got a Bible. And you find God's will in the Bible. And here is a man who didn't know his Lord's will. And it says this. He didn't know his Lord's will, but he still did things worthy of stripes. Even though he didn't know it, he doesn't escape judgment. But his judgment isn't as severe as the man who did know the Lord's will and did not make ready or do his Lord's will. So here are those servants that are rejected. And it speaks about some being beaten with many stripes and some being beaten with few stripes. But the sad thing is this, that there is going to be suffering among those that are not Christ's true servants. Not the same degree of suffering, many stripes, few stripes. Their portion in the lake of fire. And I will give you the verses in 1 Corinthians 3 and in 2 Corinthians 5 that tell us about the different rewards for the children of God. If you are truly a child of God, and that's the thing that's so important. If you are truly a child of God, even though you have served him miserably, still you're going to get to heaven. Why? Because it says that some build gold and silver and precious stone. Why, their reward is going to be great. But it says some build wood, hay, and stubble. It says everything they've done is going to be burnt with fire. But it says they shall be saved, so as by fire. So some are going to go to heaven with nothing. Everything burnt by fire. Others that have built with gold and silver and precious stone, they will enter the kingdom of God with an abundant reward. But please notice, among the saved, different rewards, different positions in the world to come, and among the lost, different positions in the lake of fire. And there is no consolation to say, well, I won't be suffering eternally as much as others in the lake of fire. God forbid that any man should go there. And I think of those in America. They could turn and hear the Back to the Bible program. They could hear Brother Wearsby. They can hear so many good radio programs. How great is their responsibility? And it says this, the Lord takes that into account. To whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. How much is going to be required of us here at the Goldsboro Gospel Chapel, who have been privileged to hear the whole counsel of God? And it says, to whom much has been committed, of him will they ask the more. So this is the picture that lies before us. The coming of the Lord, what does it mean to you? Is it a time of blessing, or is it a time of judgment? It's the faith and the life we live that answers this question. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that you have told us in time that the coming of thy Son can be a blessed reunion. We are thankful that you warned us in time, our God, that it can be one when our true heart's condition can be made known and shall be made known, and then our portion shall be with the damned or with the blessed. So, our Father, let our portion be with those who are blessed. Let us not be those who, when Christ comes, if we are truly his, we shall simply be saved so as by fire. But let us be faithful servants. Let us be set over all that Christ has. Let us rule over many cities. Let us be true servants and richly rewarded servants. And let us not find out too late that we are not truly those that belong to Christ. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.